The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. General Manager Brian Danahy at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. In fact, that's the way it is at Ed Morse. Over 1.2 million people have been backed by Morse with their price protection promise. And right now, during the Move Up sales event, drive a 2019 XT4 Premium Luxury just $299 a month. Plus, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa will make your first payment. Visit edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillactampa.com for all the details at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon right there on their website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. All the great offers for this month are laid out for you. 2019 Cadillac CTS, $399 lease per month. 2019 Cadillac XT4, the all-new XT4, $339 lease per month, and your first payment is waived. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com is the website, and the dealership there is right on Causeway Boulevard. Hector LeBron, general manager, ask for him. He will take care of you personally. He's happy to give that personal service. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Thanks to them for sponsoring all of Ira Kaufman's work at JoeBucksFan.com. They make him possible to continue entertaining and being the sage of Tampa Bay sports. And here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast, it's on. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. He's Mr. Ira Kaufman, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. All the great new offers are right there, right now, at edmorsecadillactampa.com and edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Sage, you are looking good, fresh off your TV appearance. It is very late Monday night for us. We are
new. We had to pull an audible, too, right, Steve?
We had to call an audible. And it is late, and we are here. And you know what, Ira? Look, so much going on. Although it feels like we're in a lull. It almost feels like that because I think Bucks fans are a little beaten down. You know, there's only so much hype we can take. And with no gas on the fire through free agency, I think people are just sitting back, not knowing what's going to happen at number five. But we're going to talk about that and a lot more.
I think it's a league lull, Steve, because if you look at our friend with Pro Football Talk.
Oh, I thought you meant our friend Lee DeKemper right here from JoeBucksFan.com.
Right here.
I'm Steve Isbitz.
But Lee, if you know, you check Pro Football Talk every day like I do. And
all real football fans
It appears they're in a little bit of lull. They don't have a lot of juice right now.
I don't know about that.
There's not a lot of juice.
Always got juice. He's running stories about why the AAF folded. That's very intriguing.
If anybody cared about it, the AAF wouldn't have folded.
AAF was getting better ratings than the NBA in some circles. So calm down.
It looks like when the Tribune folded. Nobody cared.
You see, Steve, that's
you walked right into that, Ira.
That's way out of line.
You walked right into that.
Steve, I just polished off the largest salad I've ever seen. Fit for a king, three normal human beings, or one Lee DeKemper could have polished off that salad. Lee, with all due respect, I did a hell of a job on it. The salmon was overflowing. I dug and dug and dug. I couldn't find a damn beet. Not one damn beet, Steve.
What did you find under that mound?
There was a lot of stuff. It was like a Cobb salad. Who invented the Cobb salad, by the
way? Ty Cobb.
Ty Cobb. There you go. Steve, I've been putting a lot of mileage on my car. You know, I went down to Captiva Island. Our friend got a timeshare there. That three-hour drive. Went to Orlando to see my son before he heads off to Houston. He's going to be gone for 5 months. 5 months. Selling security systems for Vivint. It's a big company.
Chef Vinnick?
No, Vivint. I got hats from Vivint. I got shirts from Vivint. Steve, you know, it would have been nice to have a Cadillac to make those two long trips. And by the way, may I say, the traffic to Orlando, it sucks. There ain't no good way to go. You could go 40 miles and it could take you 2 damn hours. Anytime anybody complains about the traffic, Lee, and you ain't got no traffic up where you're living, DeKemper.
No.
I don't want to hear any complaints from you.
No, no traffic.
Steve, you've been known to complain about the Pinellas County traffic.
All right, enough of that, Sage. Look, Ira. We have got a draft coming up, and we've got a fan base that's kind of flat. You got a lot of people excited, though, about the prospect of one of these big beefcakes on the line.
You mean they're not excited about Blaine Gabbert and the rest of the free agent crop?
Hey, Gabbert's only earning half of what Ryan Fitzpatrick has earned last year, there's some savings right there. But, of course, then there's the whole middle linebacker crowd. Lee, even before we started the podcast, he was just expressing extreme distress.
I've never heard him go out on a limb like this, DeKemper. He's really out there. on this middle linebacker stuff.
And then you've got people who, of course, want the old trade down, accumulate picks. They'd be happy with a tackle. The Bucs did that, if that was the Arians' way.
A D-tackle.
You know, what are you sensing from the fans, Ira? You're out and about town all over the place.
Lee, the trade down always sounds sexy. It always sounds great. They did it last year. They pick up all these picks. Lee, I'm not sure that I have confidence that they can cash in on these picks.
Thank you.
Pick's a pick. It's not a player until you pick them.
Last year, Light got a haul. He wound up including the Bucks' own, his own second-round pick. Three second-round picks. Of those three picks, two are stiffs and one's a question mark. So what good did it do, Drayton? And now you got a top-five pick. You have a chance to get a guy who could be a dominant game wrecker for a decade. Why give it up to roll the dice where the chances of you screwing up are not uncommon?
Lee, how many D linemen are available at number five, potentially, that you would come away and say, I like that pick? How many?
Four, without even thinking about it.
Four.
Maybe six. Four.
Give me the four.
Josh Allen. Now, we're talking sort of realistic. Bosa's not going to fall.
No, you throw Bosa in there, too.
Well, that'd be five.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, Josh Allen, Bosa.
Yep. Ed Oliver, Montez Sweat, and this. Quentin Williams. Everybody goes nuts over. I'm spooked by Alabama defensive players. They generally underperform, underachieve. And I've actually had NFL GMs speculate one of the reasons why these guys underachieve is Saban has these guys so coached up so well that, and they're beat up too. They get beat up. So I'm not against an Alabama player. I'm just spooked by it. But not every Alabama defensive player is the same. I get that. Some have been studs. I get that. But defensive linemen especially, they really haven't, to my knowledge, to my measurement, they really haven't played to their standards.
Do you extend that to Alabama players, period?
You can't say that about Julio Jones. You can't say that about, there's a couple of running backs that did very well. There's also some running backs that were terrible. Trent Richardson, Springs, who struggled in the AAF. I mean, and he was a first-round pick. And the Colts actually traded the first-round pick for the guy from Cleveland.
On a mixed bag in the secondary, mixed bag with Barron.
Very much so. Well, you know, Barron, that's kind of an asterisk because he wasn't a safety. He was a linebacker. And of all people, it took Jeff Fisher to figure that out, not Lovie Smith. Thank you, Lovie.
Fitzpatrick looks like a player. Minka,
like I say, it's not universal that all of them underachieve, but it just sure seems to be the majority of Alabama defenders. They don't live up to their pre-draft billing.
So
that's what spooks me.
Steve, I don't want to mischaracterize our friend here and our colleague, but I'm getting the impression, Steve, that if the Bucs don't take a defensive lineman, the Kemper's going to throw his hands up that night at one Buck play.
Well, it depends what they pick. I mean, it really does. And I don't want to get going.
They're not going to take a DK Metcalf receiver. You certainly don't want him to take the Alabama running back at number five. You'll go
That's a reach as well.
I got a philosophical question. What is a reach, right? Because I hear people
An Alabama running back at five?
I hear people say that all the time, but is it fair to say, Iris, something is a reach when really all we're really grading is how the pick turns out and who you didn't pick versus the pick you did?
Well,
so, you know what I mean?
A reach could be taking a player at five that should be taken at 21. That could be
considered
even 10.
A reach. Yeah.
But to Steve's point, Lee, what if the guy taken at five that should be at 21 turns out to be a Pro Bowler?
My feelings have been well known, well documented about inside linebacker. And I hear people saying, what about Kuechly? You wouldn't draft him number five? Well, Kuechly wasn't drafted number five. Oh, what about Ray Lewis? Ray Lewis wasn't drafted number five. What's his face from San Francisco? Excellent guy from Ole Miss, if I remember correctly. He wasn't drafted at number five. You know, like, you wouldn't draft any of these guys at number five? Like, wouldn't draft any inside linebacker at number five. Hasn't happened in 26 years. You know, that's like saying, you wouldn't draft Tom Brady at number five? Well, he wasn't drafted at number five. He was drafted, what, eighth round, sixth round? I mean, that's ridiculous comparison. So, no.
A reach could be viewed, Steve, as a boom or bust type of player. I'm not
Depending
big on taking
drafting
that kind of guy at number five.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very valid point, yeah. And you know what? Most of these guys are, like to Steve's point, they're boom or bust. Either they make it or they don't.
It seems to me that Oliver's a guy that you could maybe get at eight or nine. You think
possibly.
So?
Possibly. This is educated speculation in what we're doing. And I'm not saying we've got, you know, contacts with eight GMs feeding us information.
We ain't Daniel Jeremiah.
No. I hear that about Oliver, but when his pro day was so excellent and he had a good combine, is it a reach if they pick him at five? I don't know. You know, people are comparing him to Aaron Donald now as far as physical traits. They're not, and that's another, I shouldn't say pet peeve, but it's something that irks me when people say, oh, draft Quentin Williams because Aaron Donald. Well, you know, Aaron Donald's once every 30, 35-year player. That's reckless. That's irresponsible.
But look at Donald,
and not
right?
Fair.
He was, I think, number 12 overall.
Yeah.
So
he blew up.
People thought he was a reach, I
from
guess.
From Pitt, right?
They thought he was too small. They thought he was a reach. I remember hearing Dave Wanstead talk about him.
Raved about him, right?
Hats off to the Rams for doing their research.
And there was I've chatted with some folks about this. The Bucs probably would have drafted him the next year in the, when he went, what, 2014? Yeah, it was Mike Evans' draft.
That was the Mike Evans' draft.
Anyway.
Yeah. And I always like to tell people this. When people say James can't complete a pass accurately downfield, I saw that James' damn near perfect game up in Pittsburgh, and Aaron Donald was playing for Pitt at the time.
The term reach, Ira, for years, it's always made no sense to me because all that matters is if the guy pans out. A quarterback's not a reach if you drafted him at 15 and he should have gone at 27. You know, I don't know.
Here's a perfect example of a reach. Al Davis drafted Darius Hayward Bay because Al Davis, if you could run, he considered that the greatest attribute. If you could run, Darius Hayward Bay could run. He was projected like a third round pick, but Al Davis drafted him first because he was so quick. And as it turned out, he probably played to the level of a third round pick. He was like, he was okay backup.
I don't think you can go wrong with sticking with college production, Steve. You add a little bit of the physical that you put the guy through at Indy. Lee, a little bit about his numbers at the combine or the pro day, but you can't get away from the film. You just can't.
No.
And you never should.
No, you should, yeah.
You never should.
It's easy to pick out the guys who were reaches who failed.
In retrospect.
Right, but what about all the reaches that succeeded? Does anybody ever track that? I don't, but who does? I don't know.
Yeah, and Lee, the interesting thing about Oliver, who you're keen on, correct me if I'm wrong, but a year ago, if he would have came out or eligible to come out, he might have been the first pick in the draft. Now, Baker Mayfield, you know, he's a quarterback. But Oliver was on a very high pedestal.
I was thinking 2 years ago. Because his junior year as well as his senior year, we're like, they're okay. But NFL people say he was misused. Now, his first 2 years at Houston when he played for Tom Herman, he was a wrecking machine. He went wild against – I'll never forget the game. It was on ABC, nationally televised. It was Oklahoma at Houston. He went wild. And Oklahoma, as we all know, has an excellent offensive line. He went nuts. And then Major Applewhite comes in, and he's misused. I've heard a number, Daniel Jeremiah being among them, say it was frustrating to watch tape of Ed Oliver because he was misused.
Steve, I'll ask you this. Would you be knocked off your chair? And you love to sit on that chair, by the way. I'd like you to get a little out of the house once in a while. You do like that recliner. Would you get knocked off your chair if the Bucks moved up from five?
I'd be surprised because I don't think they have to. And to move up, you're going to have to cough up a solid pick.
And Lee, if you move up... Mm-hmm. That guy's got a target on his back.
That's true.
He has to be a stud. Absolutely.
Roberto Aguayo. They had a target on his back. Now, if they would have drafted him in the third round, but they traded up and in the second round to get him, on his back.
We're all in agreement. We'd be very surprised if the Bucks traded up.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked. And that is a risk it, no biscuit kind of move.
You got to think one of those D linemen's a lot better than the others.
You have to hope one of those guys is better than what you currently have, which they probably are.
Well, I think the question for the Bucs or what they might be dealing with is who's the best pick that we can do? I think Arians has said it. I think he's kind of wired that way. If they all have little question marks about any one of these D linemen that's available at five, whichever one are left, one or three are left, if they have any question marks and they think Devin White has no question marks, I think they might just do it. And then it comes down to, Who do they pick next? Because I think that sort of changes the game on the whole scope of everything, right? If they do end up getting a really high value, maybe a first-round talent defensive end in round two, you know, I don't know. Maybe that makes the White pick feel smarter. I don't know.
I like this woman puncher, Simmons, who blew out his knee, played for Mississippi State.
You know, Lee, tell me if I'm reading too much into this. But
he's the guy who's not healthy, right?
He blew out his knee, too.
I don't know. I can't get this out of my mind. So, no, it's not Rachel Watson. I can't get this out of my mind. And, Steve, you were sitting literally within arm's length of Bruce Arians when he said it. And, of course, your plate was teeming with bacon, you know, sausages, and Arians was having, you know, alfalfa sprouts over there. But, Lee, when somebody mentioned Devin White, and he didn't knock Devin White, and then he added Devin Bush.
Yeah.
He brought up Devin Bush. The guy that asked the question didn't mention Devin Bush. Steve, you were there. That kind of sticks with me.
I was there. It stuck with me. I still remember Arians saying it. He turned to his right, and he answered the question. It was from an outsider.
Was he thinking that fast to throw people off, or was that a sign that—
I think he just likes the guy. But look, most people think Devin Bush is
very good.
On these top 50 lists, he's coming in at 12, 11, 10, 14.
He's right there with White.
There with White as a 1A. And why wouldn't Arians like the guy? But maybe if he really has a thing for Bush, I mean, that sounds kind of funny. But if he goes there, maybe they trade down. Maybe they do love that trade down route.
Lee.
I mean, Arians, look, the theme we know about Bruce Arians is that he is looking for instant impact players. No long-term projects.
No development.
Get in there. He knows the defense is devoid of a lot of heart and soul and talent. So get some instant impact guys. If he can trade down and he feels that he can get three instead of two, he might just do it.
Lee, I don't want to get you going. Actually, I do want to get you going, Lee. But here's what I'm thinking. I don't think this is impossible. Suppose they go Devin White, offensive tackle, and running back on the first 2 days of the draft and don't draft a D lineman. How's that going to sit with Lee DeKemper? How's that going to sit? Meanwhile, you're filling three needs.
Well, first off, inside linebacker isn't a need. No, that's number one.
Wait a minute. You think they're overflowing linebackers in a 3-4 system?
I just want to double check this. I just want to confirm. I think you said this before. I want to know why you're so hell-bent on drafting an inside linebacker. I really want to know that.
The middle of the field is where the action is, Lee. The middle of the field.
What action?
What action? The running back coming out, the little tight end dump, the little quick slant
Everything
pass.
You're talking about is an outside linebacker, not an inside linebacker. Inside Lee, linebacker, here's it's simple.
You put White next to Levante David, you got some dynamic inside linebackers.
It's simple English and simple geometry. Middle linebacker means, shockingly, the middle of the field, in between the hash marks, in between the tackles. Everything you just described is an outside linebacker. The outside, the running backs, there are no more fullbacks in the NFL. On top of that, why do you think a linebacker, an inside linebacker, has not been drafted in 26 years in top five? Why do you think that? Do you think that every NFL general manager has lost his mind?
Lee,
there's a reason for that, Ira.
Lee, this is a division with Luke Kuechly and Deion Jones.
It's also a league that's a passing league.
I
with
understand.
The quarterbacks in our division. You need pressure on these guys.
Suppose
we seen enough non-pressure?
Couldn't you have Devin White spy Christian McCaffrey?
If this guy...
Could you?
He's on the outside again, Ira. They don't run inside.
Spy on him.
Are you suggesting he should be an outside linebacker?
No, I'm not.
Well, if you could have talked me into it had you said yes.
He's not a pass-rushing outside linebacker. I'm not going to go
I'm not talking about that. Could you use him as an outside linebacker to what you just said? Shadow McCaffrey, shadow
Kamara.
Alvin Kamara. If that's the case, you might be able to sell me. If not, it's ridiculous. Teams don't run up the middle anymore. The fullback is dead.
In a 4-3, he'll play outside linebacker.
They're not playing a 4-3.
They'll do a hybrid.
Do a hybrid. And when they do that, it's going to be, guess why? They need pressure.
Want Devin White, and that's
I don't want an inside linebacker. You can call him freaking Scrooge for all I care.
Don't want Ray Lewis. You don't want him. You don't want him.
So this guy's Ray Lewis.
No, I'm just being facetious. But Kuechly. Kuechly makes
a
difference.
I love Kuechly, but he's not picked in the top five. It's not an inside game anymore, Ira. And the Panthers, shockingly, have quarterback pressure. They can get pressure on the quarterback. The Bucs cannot. How long is JPP going to be here? One more year, maybe?
The Panthers
Who's
have had a
that?
Good defense. And,
don't give me Nassib.
And a lot of it is because of Luke Kuechly.
Luke Kuechly is a Hall of Famer. I love the guy. But he's an inside linebacker. They don't need one. What don't you understand about that? They need pressure on the quarterback. Pressure on the quarterback.
I give you Carl Nassib. I give you JPP. Vita Vea.
And I will quote a person in the Bucs personnel office. When I texted him asking for a breakdown of Carl Nassib, his reply was, "Jag." And I might add, this guy was so good, the winless Browns cut him. The winless Browns cut him.
You got Shaq Griffin to add a little rushing off the left edge.
If the guy's any good, you don't cut him if you don't have any wins. I mean, come on.
Lee, if I'm with Isbitz on this point, and you better not argue it.
That's like saying,
if you think White's the best prospect at five that's still on the board, you got
to
take him.
I couldn't do that. And here, to your point about Nassib, if he was anything good, and he had a nice season last year, great, I'm happy for him. But that would be like saying, okay, you drafted O.J. Howard, cut Brate. That would be the same thing. The Bucs were horrible. They kept Brate. You can still make an argument that O.J. Howard was a luxury.
Lee, when you take a lesser player because of position, that's when you get in trouble.
It's called depth. Oh, okay, in the
draft? That's when you get in trouble. That's when you get in trouble.
Well, I say you get in trouble if you ignore, and that's what the Bucs would be doing, ignoring getting pressure on the quarterback.
All right. Fair enough. There's nothing wrong with taking the best-rated player on your board. I'm not talking about a quarterback.
Please don't tell me you'd be okay if Light was drunk enough to have a kicker in a top five.
No.
Because he was there.
No,
come
I'm
on.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying
that. Didn't we do that already? Did that happen already?
Now, when they are in a 3-4, which they will be at some points, I'm not saying it's their
predominant
team.
They'll be playing plenty of 3-4. They just have
to. Give me four linebackers if Kendall Beckwith's not healthy. What do you got?
Arian said he's going to be using some big outside linebackers.
I guess Deion Buchanan is going to count as a linebacker.
He talked him up.
He uses him at that money backer role.
I don't want to hear any kind of nonsense about money backer. Look, where's he playing? Where's he lining up?
They show a ton of different looks. I thought it was very telling that Shaq Barrett, who was a guy who got to see all the aspects of the defense when they were trying to sell it to him, was talking about how multiple it is. Arians in Phoenix was talking about how sometimes we'll be using five safeties, and there's all kinds of looks, and this is what Todd Bowles does.
Lee, may I suggest that might confuse the Buck defense as much as it confuses the opponent's offense? I thought the key was to keep things simple, gentlemen.
Ira, look, Arians saying that JPP, you know, wants to line him up a little bit more inside. Some might think, hey, that might mean that they're going to draft the pass rusher early and make the guy a little more of a situational guy in his first year, rotate, all that kind of stuff. Nassib, Arian said he's going to be playing some bigger linebackers outside. I mean, Noah Spence is probably washed out at this point with the way the organization feels about him, but he's cheap. But I'm sure Nassib's going to get his crack to be a 3-4 linebacker.
Am I wrong to suggest that Vita Vea is the prototypical 3-4 nose tackle? Am I wrong there?
I don't think you're wrong, and I think he's going to be a hell of a player if he stays healthy. I really do.
Steve, isn't that one of the reasons he was drafted?
I'm a little down on Vita Vea, but I'd say just because it's incomplete. To me, I hope he does great. If you look at the pictures on Buccaneers.com, if you study and Facebook and whatever, if you study all those official team pictures, Vea, and the couple of looks you get of him, he looks a lot more. He looks stronger. It looks like he's got more man weight and just more more lean to him. He's got the strength. He's got the desire, supposedly. Now he's got to get in there. I'm a little worried. Maybe it's overblown, but I'm a little bit worried that, look, JPP clearly is not in for the offseason program. And if you don't show up on day one to meet the new coach, you're probably not going to show up until mandatory minicamp. And we know the McCoy situation, he's staying away. You draft a defensive end, you know, I don't know who's going to guide the guy and show him the ropes early, because we hear from every player under the sun that it's important to have a veteran in there to, you know, McCoy talked about how he had nobody as a rookie. Ryan Sims was there for him.
Vinny Curry's gone. Vinny Curry's
gone. There's nobody left. I mean, yeah. Bo Allen with the defensive end. I don't know. It's I don't know how the Bucks feel about that, but to me, JPP not showing up means he's not coming in here to help groom some rookie to be ready on day one like a maniac. I don't know.
I'm not that worried about JPP.
I'm not worried one bit, because I remember last year Cutter was talking about the same thing happened, and he told Cutter, don't worry, everything's okay. And Cutter admitted, he was like, yeah, you know, I've heard that before.
Oh, I'm not worried about JPP at all, but Arians is the guy who keeps saying he needs a leader in every room and wants that veteran. So if he sees now, I don't have that veteran, maybe the coach is a little more hesitant to draft a rookie without a guy in there to guide him. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Well, and it also assumes McCoy's gone, right? Unless you're saying a D tackle can't mentor at the end.
I have to assume that for now.
Yeah, yeah.
And just so we're fair here, JPP every day is putting up tons of video of him working out, wherever he works out. So it's not like he's out pulling the Le'Veon Bell and he's on a jet ski out in Key Biscayne Bay.
Steve, I don't think the lack of a veteran defensive end in any way is going to make the Bucs think twice about taking a rookie defensive end. I don't think it shouldn't.
I mean, this draft is so top-heavy with defensive ends. It's very similar to the last couple of years when the draft was so heavy with running backs. What did the Bucs do?
Now, what about Steve's point, Lee? If you get a draft that's top-heavy with D linemen, do you then make the assumption you can get one early in round two? Is that one way you can look at it?
It's a gamble if you think, for example, the Simmons character falls, which he probably will, and there's a bunch of question marks for him, aside from the fact he punches women.
You might have to trade back until late in the first round.
Well, that's a possibility, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Brian Burns, I don't think, goes past 20, and that's a guy that Trevor Sekhema, for example, with the Draft Network. Trevor, you know Trevor. I probably butchered his last name. I apologize. I don't mean to. But when people butcher my last name, I don't give a damn. And I got a good journalism story about that, by the way. Sometime I'll tell you. But at any rate, I don't think Brian Burns gets past 20. Trevor loves the guy. Trevor said he's easy top 10.
Brian Burns, he used to be the publisher of the Tribune. Brian Burns.
Well, isn't there a Brian Burns that works with media relations?
I believe there is.
Well, this Brian Burns
This is the third Brian Burns.
Yeah, he's the most important.
I got you. Steve, you're doing some calculations on that phone that gets me a little nervous.
I'm just looking at all the great offers at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac. Brandon and I are your proud sponsors. You should be doing the same thing that I'm doing. Now, Sage, one thing that's interesting, the Jason Pierre-Paul stuff, his contract... He actually, the way they wrote it up, he's actually due to make less money next year, so it becomes even more affordable on that front. And he's such a freakish athlete. I know Lee and I disagree on this. JPP is such a freakish athlete that he's the kind of guy who sticks around a long time. Those whacked out, crazy super athletes are the guys who usually last longer.
You mean like a Julius Peppers?
A Peppers type. Sure, I'll even put Brent Grimes in that category. Lasted way longer at his position, just really out of freakish athleticism. JPP has shown that for so many years in so many ways. I don't know what the Bucks believe the whole long-term plan is for him. And I don't know. To me, it's interesting. JPP, for example, in 2020 is only due to earn $12.25 million, which at that position is peanuts.
Yeah, that's a pretty damn good bargain, Lee.
That's true. Yeah. But then again, the Bucks are already in salary cap hell. So that becomes a target.
I don't know if they are in salary cap hell.
Well, they're trying to get rid of Gerald McCoy for a good reason.
But for next year, for the future, they're not locked
now,
into really anybody.
Steve,
well, isn't Jameis's, if he comes back, shouldn't Jameis's salary go up?
Yeah, it'll go up about $10 million.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Now, to be fair, we don't know what the salary cap's going to be after this year. Or is it next year? Yeah, after 2020. We don't know what the salary cap will be.
We don't know what it'll be for 2020. We don't know the salary. Every year it changes.
2021, you mean?
No, we don't know the salary cap. We only know it for 2019. It'll go
When's
up.
When's the CBA expire?
After 2020?
Yeah. What, you mean there's no salary cap in 2020?
The salary cap comes out every year.
Yeah,
it's not going to be something ridiculous. Like, it's going to jump up $30 million.
I hate to throw the Kemper a bone, Steve, and you know that. But here's something I've been thinking about. Lee, this obsession of yours. No, I'm not talking about Rachel Watson. This obsession of yours with the pass rush, which
it
I can't
be.
Disagree with. Yeah. Now, Lee, doesn't it even take on, and this is another layer to your argument, it may take on added importance, Lee, if you want your corners playing press coverage rather than being 9 yards off the line of scrimmage.
One of the benefits of having a pass rush is you can hide a cornerback. A good defensive coordinator can hide a cornerback if you're getting pressure on a quarterback. You don't get pressure on a quarterback, there isn't a defensive coordinator alive that can hide a corner. He's going to get exposed worse than a Playboy model.
And, if these guys
have... And you didn't like that one-liner?
That's not bad, Lee. That's not bad. Steve, if you have guys with some ball skills, and that's yet to be determined about Vernon Hargraves at a pro level, yet to be determined, and Carlton Davis, but, Steve, if they got some ball skills and you have a pass rush... I mean, those are two big ifs. You can jump some routes over there. We don't see that around here. We see it with teams that are playing the Bucks.
When's the last time we saw the Bucks do that? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Justin Evans against Pittsburgh on that interception.
Yeah, that's probably the last one. You're right.
I remember the first 9 weeks, that was their only pick. It might have been 10 weeks, Steve.
Well, Sage, let me throw this at you. Do you think the Buccaneers, Bruce Arians specifically, now everybody and their brother knows that Arians likes to blitz, blitz, blitz. That's Todd Bowles, blitz, blitz, blitz. Do you think they view Devin White as a pass rusher, as a guy who could be an elite blitzer?
And don't forget, you got him next to Lavonte David, who Arians says they're going to turn him loose. Lee?
I hope so. Yeah.
I hope so.
Well, they turned Lavonte, yeah, said this last time, they turned him loose in 2017, and he was sackless. Sackless.
Who was the defensive coordinator?
He wasn't sackless last year.
Who was the defensive coordinator?
They still turned him loose, though.
It's not just, hey, Lavonte, take off. I mean, it's coordinated. It's choreographed. And Mike Smith was so horrible.
At least in 2017, he was coming on almost every play. There's no element of surprise when you got no pass rush from the front four.
Yeah.
Steve, we're talking about doing it as an element of surprise.
Well, I asked you, though, do you think they view Devin White as a pass rusher?
I think he has that capability of getting 4 sacks.
That's why I said earlier, if the Bucks think he's an outside linebacker and he could rush the quarterback, that's a whole different animal. But inside linebacker, I'll lose my mind. I'll absolutely lose my mind.
It's quite a debate, Ira. But that's the thing. We really have no idea how Bruce Arians plans to build this team other than he expects to score some points, Ira. And I wrote this up Monday on Joe Bucks Fan. I pulled it out of my my hat.
Your hat or your buttocks?
My hat. Recorder. It's Joel Glazer, your pal. You guys are always hanging out, going shopping, and doing the things you do. You know, I asked him about the identity of the team that they exploded out of the gate last year. It was all about offense, high-powered record offense. How'd you feel about the identity going that direction and carrying it forward? And Glazer said, yeah, that's the way the league has gone. So, I'm quoting Glazer now, successful teams these days, you're seeing doing it on offense, and that's what gives us hope going forward because you saw what our offense was capable of. You know, things may need to be adjusted going forward, maybe a little more balance. Since when do we hear Glazer talk X's and O's? I thought that was neat.
You hear that, Lee? Balance, baby. You talk about pass happy. I'd like a little 58-42 blend over there. Yeah, you know.
Well, first off, you better get the horses. I always quote Mike Leach. Those that say 50% pass and 50% run are 50% stupid.
And Glazer goes on to say, we move the ball up and down the field like teams aren't able to do in the NFL. So he wants to build off that. That's what gives Glazer hope. And Bruce is going to come in, do his thing, bring his knowledge, his methods, marry the two, and we have great confidence going forward. Look, I mean, the Glazers, he could have said anything. He could have talked about the defense. But they like it. They want it. They got Arians here to put up more points. I know a lot of people would think going offense with some of these picks would be a reach. But who knows? I don't know. Look at Julio Jones. A lot of people called that a reach and that the Falcons were out of their mind. It changed the whole franchise.
And then
they draft Ridley, even with Julio Jones.
Yeah.
They left New Orleans on cloud nine that Sunday night, got back in the private plane. The Glazers.
And
they were absolutely enthralled with winning a shootout against Drew Brees.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely enthralled.
Yeah, fun.
They didn't walk away saying, we gave up 40 points. What the hell's going on with our defense? They didn't think like that. They thought they could outscore people. And for a while, it kind of looked promising.
Yeah.
The problem was, you know, besides the terrible defense, which you've documented many
times. Beyond
terrible. Steve, the offense wasn't that good in the second half of the season. It really wasn't.
No.
I think they went from 28 points to 20 or 21. Mm-hmm. That's a big drop-off, Lee.
No run game.
And you know where that run game hurts, Lee? In the red zone.
Of course,
yes. That's why they struggle in the red zone.
That's a very good point. Now, you brought up Julio Jones and Ridley, and Steve thought, hey, is it really that crazy that they won't draft an offensive player at 5 or even early in the second round? Well, this week, who do the Bucks bring in? And I know a lot of this is smoke and mirrors, but who do they bring in for a visit? None other than Hollywood Brown, arguably the most dangerous wide receiver in college football. Yeah, he's coming off a foot injury. By the way, his cousin is Antonio Brown. and his guy might be better than it. Well, that's saying a lot. I shouldn't say that. But he 4.3 40.
By the way, Lee, you mentioned Antonio Brown, and you and I have talked about this, Lee, and you agreed with me because when the whole Brown thing was blowing up, I said on this podcast, I looked at you and I said, the biggest issue with Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh is the rise of Juju Schuster.
You know, when
and
I,
you nodded your head
when
and you
I
said,
saw
you're
that
right.
story come out. Did you see that story today about Juju talking about Brown? I was like, that's what I was saying weeks ago.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Somehow he
forget
knew
all the rigmarole about Roethlisberger and this and that.
Juju was taking passes away from him.
Yeah, he was taking passes away from him.
It was a threat to his stardom. That's what it was. But the fact that the Bucs bring in Hollywood Brown, this guy's electric. Go YouTube, Oklahoma highlights. I mean, there's a reason why Kyler Murray was throwing up those yards. Someone had to go get the ball.
We could use a little Hollywood
well,
down there.
Look, I'm all for
and
it.
I could see Arians going crazy with this
Dale
guy.
Mavery?
It sounds stupid, Ira, and there are many years where I have firm feelings about what the Bucs should do in the draft. Just don't screw it up. Just don't screw it up.
Well, they're not going to take him at number five. They're not going
to. I wouldn't think
no,
so,
no. This team, they scored 24 points a game last year. If you score 27, you're in the playoffs 93% of the time.
Nice Arians, research, Steve.
Arians
nice.
Thinks he can get it better. Glazer's all about, hey, let's do this here. Hopefully the kicking doesn't suck, and I'm very skeptical of Arians saying that, he doesn't have to kick off anymore, so now his leg won't. Martin Gramatica said the same thing, but I'm still logic has to win out. That doesn't make a lot of sense in a lot of ways, but – you know, there's a lot of optimism, Ira, but there's a lot of people wondering, and it all comes back to, you know who this comes back to? Mr. Winston.
Mr. Winston.
Comes back to Jameis. He cannot just be average. I swear to you, Ira, I walked away from Phoenix believing the Glazers aren't going to pay this guy to be average. They can get average somewhere else. That's not why they did this. They're going to do it.
They're going to give him a lot of rope, Lee.
Oh, yeah.
But that rope ends after the season. It ends. And they will make a judgment. And Arians will be part of that judgment going forward.
The problem with getting rid of Jameis, I don't believe there's an average quarterback out there. I really don't.
Now, Lee, that's kind of negative thinking. You're better than that.
I'm serious. Was there an average quarterback available this year?
You ever heard of Baker Mayfield?
What do you mean? Available.
But I'm saying.
The Browns weren't going to get rid of Baker Mayfield.
No. But I thought you meant out of the whole draft last year.
No. I'm talking about in the NFL as we speak.
Well,
the quarterbacks who
are
available.
A lot of people would say Nick Foles would fit that model. You know, the Jacksonville, nobody would be surprised if Jacksonville goes to the playoffs with him. Let's put it that way. Yeah. So I think he would fit.
Buck fans, they're getting a little tired of Jameis being the number four quarterback in his own division. They're getting a little tired of that. That's all I'm saying. Now, Lee, let me throw this out at you. Here's something we don't talk enough about. I think it's a major issue.
Male cheerleaders?
I think it's a major issue.
Yeah, that is an issue.
Lee, where's the
Speaking
third?
Of giving up.
Where's the third corner? Where's the slot corner?
Where's the number one corner?
Come on, Ira. Where's the number two
Well,
guy?
I mean, at least they've been identified. We don't know if they can get the job done.
Hargraves
and Davis have been ID'd. Who the heck is the slot corner
right now? I thought
it was MJ Stewart.
I wrote this in the comments today. It might have been on Twitter. I don't think there's any team in the NFL that has more two-bit safeties and slot corners than the Bucs. They excel at finding these guys. They can't find a cornerback. They can't find a good safety. I mean, Mike Evans, eh.
Maybe they had one in Bradley McDougal. Maybe.
Yeah, Justin Evans, what you meant.
Yeah, who do I say? Mike
Evans, yeah.
No. Well, Steve, Mike Evans could, you know, that guy probably could play better safety than what the Bucs have in
the
roster.
Steve, the Bucs don't have a proven corner. Don't you need like three proven corners?
Oh.
Ira, you know what? I thought it was fantastic that Lee and I said, where's the number one corner?
That was tremendous.
At the same time.
That was tremendous.
And but look, we do have to acknowledge, and we've said it before, how crappy the former coaching was. And hopefully that'll make an instant impact, but I'm watching these videos put out from the Bucs, Ira, and I'm seeing Ryan Smith over and over again in these videos with Vernon Hargraves, and they seem to be like ruling the roost at one buck. And you know, it's come on,
Ryan Smith.
He's still here.
He should be starring on Survivor. I mean, what's going on with this guy?
What's his trade value, Ira?
Trade value?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? You get
no, man. Straight question. What's his trade value?
A seventh round pick in 2026. That's a straight bet.
Then what is he doing here? This is what I don't understand about a lot of what's going on with the Bucks. I haven't figured out.
Light's got a thing for Ryan Smith. He doesn't want to let go of him.
Well, I don't disagree. I know what Steve's going to say. I don't disagree. But I think all bets are off. The coaching was so horrible that most of these guys are going to get a clean slate.
There's your saving grace of hope, is that a different coaching staff can get the best out of the Carlton Davis, the MJ Stewart,
Ryan Smith, for example,
and Justin Evans.
Ryan Smith, for example. I mean, I have bagged on him many times before. A good guy, but still.
It's not his fault they asked him to cover Julio Jones in that infamous game.
This is a pet peeve I have with some fans. You know, like, oh, so-and-so works hard. Well, so do plumbers. Give me a break. Production. And I used to hammer Ryan Smith because for a while there, he was as brutal as they come. He did show once every 8 weeks, maybe 7 weeks.
He'd make a play.
Yep. I'm like, maybe there is something there. But Mike, he's only known one defensive coach, one coaching staff. That's those clowns last 3 years. So I'm going to give him a clean bill. I'll give him a break. You're like, okay, you're going to have some real coaching now. Let's see what happens.
All right, Sage. The draft party, everyone has seen and heard about it on social media at joebucksfan.com. The details are there. South Tampa, Buffalo Wild Wings. Last year, over 700 for opening night. Sage didn't pay for a thing. He loves it. It's his
What's
favorite
What's the
over-under
on my shots, Steve?
I believe it was five and a half.
All right.
And a lot of people are taking the over. I'm going to go with the under, but not by much. I'm thinking five. For the Sage,
I want to see if Brooks reaches into his pocket and buys me a drink. That'll be it.
I'm just going to sum it up this way, Ira. If you really want to have fun with the draft and just be in a Bucks fan heaven and feel the excitement and the intensity,
and wear your Buck jersey. Wear your Buck jersey.
It's all Bucks. You'll have a great time. I don't know anybody who had a bad time in all the years we've been doing this.
What's the starting time, Steve?
Just get there, and you know when the draft is, and. And,
Commish will be there holding court.
It'll be a wild time as usual. Now, your podcast, everyone listens, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. They can subscribe, listen right on JoeBucksFan.com.
Coming after you, Nancy Grace. Coming after you.
You got a thing for her, Ira. I can smell it. All right. The draft stuff, Ira, beyond the first round, I'm going to ask you to close out the podcast. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. Beyond the first round, what are your thoughts at this point where you feel the have-tos go? You wrote a whole column about need at position. Take me into round 2, 3, and 4 to head out of this podcast.
You know, Steve, when I started breaking it down by position, the one thing that struck me, and I've said this on the podcast, the way the roster was built, Steve, it has been top-heavy. And by that, I mean they had an embarrassment of riches at wide receiver / tight end, and they were short in a lot of other areas. And so, Lee, going into this draft, I'm thinking pass rush, guard or a tackle on the right side, a second running back, because right now you and I don't have a lot of confidence in Ronald Jones. And we don't know anything about Sean Wilson or Andre Ellington. Linebacker, they're a little bit short. Corner, they're short. And safety. Lee, that is a hell of a lot of needs, Lee, for a team that's been drafting low for most of the last decade.
That shows you're not hitting.
What gives, Lee?
That shows you're not hitting on your draft picks.
You're not hitting. So Steve says beyond, and I'll go with the Kemper on the pass rush. All right, let's say they get Sweat or Oliver at 5. Now we're looking at round 2. It's an early round 2 pick. At that point, if they get the pass rusher, I don't think they'll trade back into late in the first round. They'll sit there and they'll take their pick. I think that's early for a number 2 running back, so I'm not taking that guy in the second round. I'm taking a guard / tackle that maybe can play behind Watford for half a season. You don't have to start him.
Get out of here, Art. Behind Watford, we're out of here.